This state of Minnesota, where we're broadcasting from today and tomorrow, is a political anomaly. It's a western state filled with Cabela's, sporting goods big box stores with guns and fishing gear. It's a state that espouses independence and suspicion of the federal government in the voices of people like former Governor Jesse Ventura. But it's also a home to American liberalism, a liberalism that once defined the Democratic Party.
And it is the special genius of the Democratic Party that it welcomes change, not as an enemy, but as an ally. Not as a force to be suppressed, but as an instrument of progress to be encouraged.
He was once called a political genius himself, Hubert Humphrey, Minnesota's favorite son, vice president in 1968, who lost to Richard Nixon in a run for the White House. But the voters in Minnesota voted for him. In fact, in the last 81 years, the electorate has voted for Democrats in all but one election, in 1972, when Richard Nixon won his second term. In the Hubert Humphrey tradition, there was Walter Mondale, Jimmy Carter's vice president, the late Senator Paul Wellstone, and today, Senator Al Franken. But is liberalism in the old Humphrey mold more of an Al Franken joke today? With the rise of Republicans like Tim Pawlenty and Michelle Bachmann in the land of 10,000 lakes, historian Ralph Brower, who's the author of The Strange Death of Liberal America, says there is a Republican-Democrat shift going on in Minnesota, but it's all anchored in a strong bipartisan sense of equity and fairness.
Well, you catch us on a rather momentous day. Our legislature passed the gay marriage amendment, and the governor, Mark Dayton, will sign it. So I think that's one example of the social compact and also a great example of civic engagement.
Where does gay marriage fit into the traditional liberalism of Minnesota?
Well, if we wanted to talk about liberalism, let's first talk about definitions. For me, liberalism, the definition of liberalism is the belief that government is there to keep the playing field level. And if you believe in a level playing field, then I think it's pretty hard not to believe in gay rights.
So that's a very intuitive idea for Minnesotans who have an understanding, depending on where they are on the liberal to conservative scale, they have an understanding that this leveling the playing field and equality and equity are core values.
Yes, that has been true in this state probably for at least a century.
Minnesota has some pretty unique institutions which carried some of these values. What is the DFL's role today, and how did it begin to be the bulwark of this whole notion of progressivism in Minnesota?
Well, I think that's a great question, because the notion of the DFL, we are the only state Democratic Party that is not called Democratic. We're called the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. And that was actually put together right after World War II, 1944. And Hubert Humphrey was involved in that, as was Elmer Benson, who at the time had just been governor of the state. And what they did was bring together two groups. There was the Farmer Labor Party in Minnesota, which was a progressive group, and then there was the regular Democratic Party. And the two of them had actually been fighting for the governorship and other offices in the state, and they decided that the best thing we can do is get together. We have similar aims, similar values. And so in 1944, the Farmer Labor Party and the Democratic Party merged. And ever since then, we've kept the name. And that notion that the party is a coalition of labor, of rural Minnesota, and of people of progressive values has stayed with the party ever since.
Do you see the late Paul Wellstone as a pinnacle, as a peak of that movement that began in 1944? Do you think of him as an anomaly? And what do you think would have changed had Paul Wellstone lived past 2002?
Well, I think if Paul Wellstone had lived, he might very well have run for president. Whether he would have won or not, I do not know. But he would have been a huge factor in the race that year. And probably would have had a lot to say about who the candidate was if it hadn't been him. There's no way that Paul was an anomaly. If anything, Paul was a voice that goes all the way back to Hubert Humphrey and before him to Elmer Benson. In fact, it's interesting. Paul's grave and Hubert Humphrey's grave are actually within walking distance of each other. And I think that closeness of where the two of them are buried is symbolic of the closeness of the ideas that each of them had.
Let's talk about some of the politicians in the state of Minnesota who are associated with conservatism. I'm wondering if the Tim Pawlentes, the Michelle Bachmans of the world, owe a debt to the DFL? Do they carry some of the values of the DFL as conservatives, or are they pushing back? Are they basically fighting to get the pendulum to swing the other way?
As far as Pawlenty goes, I'm not sure, actually. Michelle Bachmann is a very, very special case, and she represents a district that was gerrymandered to make it more right-wing leaning, more Republican. A lot of her support, financial support, comes from outside Minnesota. I looked up some numbers just before this, and she actually ran the third most expensive congressional race in the country. She spent $11 million to get elected. Most of that money did not come from Minnesota. It came from outside the state.
The title of your book is The Strange Death of Liberal America. Is the Dayton success a sign that maybe the reports of liberal America's death are exaggerated in 2013?
In the book, I liken it to liberal America being in intensive care. And I think right now the medical signs, if you will, the symptoms are still in doubt. I think there are a lot of things going on in the country today that will make it difficult for the level playing field idea to again reassert itself. But I believe, I've said this a lot, that if you don't believe in the American people, then you don't believe in America. And I believe that the American people believe in the level playing field, and that when given the chance, they will assert that. So in the long run, I'm optimistic about the state of this country and of liberal America.
Ralph Brower is the author of The Strange Death of Liberal America. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.